Good Vibe Astrology.
Woohoo! Welcome to our first call for Astrology for Deliberate Creators. This is Jeanette Ma here with Kim Falconer. How are you, Kim?
I'm good. Hi, everyone.
Hello. We're so much... I am. And Julie's dialed in with us. Hello, Julie.
Hello. Very glad to
hey,
be here.
Hey, Julie.
I'm excited for the discussion we're going to have today because Kim and I have been going over our notes, and I got to say, every time we connect, this course feels like it gets better and better, just more fun and more fun, more inspiring and more empowering. And
bigger is that, and bigger.
Yeah. So we've got a fabulous topic lined up for us today. Kim, I'll let you give us an introduction to it before we dive in.
Oh, okay. Well, the first thing I want to do, because this is our first call, is to just get everybody on the same page about the connection between astrology and the law of attraction. And just very briefly, we know that everything's energy and everything's vibrating. And when we want to create deliberately, our bottom line is to get into the vibrational energy alignment with what we want. And astrology is our personal map. It's our personal focus wheel to whatever it is we want to create. Because astrology is a symbol system that represents every single moment in time. And it represents the moment in time when we are born. And that moment is, because like attracts like, it's a unique and perfect reflection of who we are and everything that's authentic for us. And we need this map because of what culture we're born into and the things that we're brought up to believe or the thoughts that we get in the habit of thinking and our own doubts and gremlins, we aren't always expressing our most powerful, perfect self. And we can forget who that is. But we look at our astrology and we remember, oh, right, that's who I am. That's where I can power in this area of life. That's my ticket to what I want. It's just this endless, deep, 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 rich support and focus for us in our deliberate creation. And we can start tapping it immediately. You don't have to know every in and out and study astrology for 20 years before you can tap this. You will be tapping this by the end of this call. And we just start at the top and work our way down to the deeper levels as you want to. So, yeah, that's just the intro. Do you have anything to add to that?
No, I love what you shared, Kim. And I'll say that from my own personal experience, one of the things that was most impactful for me as I learned more and more about my personal astrology was that it took me to a level of self-love that I'm not sure anything else could have. To see myself through my chart and to feel so validated, to have who I am at the very core, it just felt so reinforcing. And we know how aligning that is, to love who we are, to respect who we are, to know who we are. This is that's a big part of deliberate creation, and it surprised me to have that experience. It was certainly not what I expected when I started studying all those years ago, what I could then. And I still continue to learn things from Kim now, you guys. I mean, I think we could not be in better hands to be marrying up deliberate creation with astrology than to be here with Kim. So I'm really, really excited about what's going to happen for all of us through the span of these 5 weeks together.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's a marrying up, and we couldn't be in better deliberate creation hands than yours, Jeanette. So it's a... yeah, it's a win-win. But what a good point, because the thing that astrology teaches you is non-judgment. You learn that there's a lot of different types of energy expression, and they're all authentic. They're all perfectly wonderful in whatever context they're coming out in. And we stop thinking that everyone has to be a certain way to be valid, and that starts with us. So
yeah.
it just lightens up on the judgment, because it's also such a beautiful map to our core values. And just recognizing core values is the beginnings of that personal love affair and respect for the self, as opposed to, oh, why am I like this?
It's a very different vibe, isn't it?
A very different, very, very different, yeah. I think anyone who heard you say that can feel it.
Yeah. Mm. So we're going to start with, I think, each week we're going to talk about a basic deliberate creation premise and how we can explore and expand on that through our astrological chart, in a nutshell. And today our major topic is expectations. Do you want to elaborate a bit on that, Jeanette?
Yeah.
Why is that important?
I think most people who are here for this course are already at least somewhat familiar with deliberate creation, so it won't come as a surprise to you to hear that expectations is a big part of what we're creating. So what we're learning is how to recognize them through your astrology and bring them into alignment with whatever your desires are. Because our expectations play a powerful role in what's unfolding in life, and that's why it serves us so well to consciously align our expectations with our desires. Because if we're holding contrary thoughts and beliefs about what we want, we can sabotage our success indefinitely and really drive ourselves crazy and wondering why it is we can't get what we want. But magic happens once our highest success becomes something we begin to see as normal and expected, once we acclimate ourselves to it. And that's really what we're talking about with expectations, right, Kim?
Absolutely. And it's the idea of acclimating, expecting. I expect to have this experience, not this is really hard for me. This is where I get tripped up. All the things that we might say.
We were just having a discussion just like that not too long ago with someone who was talking about making money for nothing, like doing absolutely nothing and yet experiencing an abundance of money. And for many people, that isn't something that computes in their mind. That's not an expectation most of us are dialed in, because we're so strongly conditioned and trained to believe we have to earn it in some form or fashion.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It doesn't mean it's not possible. It just means most of us haven't learned how to expect it, to have money for nothing.
we don't know how to dial in to the part of ourselves that has absolute, utter trust in the universe, just like what would a peacock worry about getting the right color feathers? I don't know what made me think of that, but I'm saying, no, they wouldn't worry about it. They expect every morning when they wake up to have those brilliant blue and green and amazing feather colors, and that's Pisces, isn't it? That's where we absolutely trust life to unfold. And I think anyone who's struggling with that feeling of, this is impossible, how can I don't expect to get something for nothing, but I wish I could, we go into that place of where we have utter belief and faith, which is our Pisces area in the chart. So we're going to talk today about the signs and some of the power expressions that they represent and where we can find them in our charts so we can tap into them. But first of all, shall we do a little bit of housekeeping?
Yeah, let's do it.
Where's our housekeeping list? We didn't write one.
But we want to make sure everyone has their chart in front of them for this discussion, so that, as we're talking about the different placements and power expressions, you know what yours are. So let's first talk about, make sure everyone knows how to be looking at their chart.
That's right. I'm pretty sure that everyone on the call and listening into the course already has their chart. But here's the rundown. And you're going to get notes for each call, and they're going to have links. So you don't have to try to scramble and get these links down as we speak them. But Jeanette, if you want to pop them into the chat, if anyone needs them there, you can. But I'm pretty sure everyone on the call already has their charts up at GVU in the gallery. But first of all, you're going to want to create your chart online if you haven't done that yet. And there are several sites that do it, but we recommend astro.com just because it's familiar. It's a favorite. So astro.com is where you can go and create a little profile. It's all completely free, and get your chart. What you'll need is your date, time, and place of birth. If anyone doesn't have their birth time, email us, so we can talk about how we approach that. And next, if you want to discuss your chart and in the forum, in the GVA forum, either one's good.
GVA's better. You'll be discussing it with other astrologically savvy people.
That's right. And you can put it up in the gallery. And there's a tutorial for that. There's tutorials for all these steps that I'm mentioning. And the link, Jeanette can put that link up. There's a tutorial to put your chart up in the gallery and then post it into the forum. And there's one more tutorial I want to point you to. Don't look at it now, but after the call, if any of you are confused about where your ascendant is or where your various signs on the house cusps are, we're going to discuss what that is. There's a tutorial for that too. And these are all under 5 minutes. They're just short little helpers for you. So there's a Find Your Ascendant tutorial. All these are in the video portal at GVA.
And Kim, for this discussion today, are we looking at natal charts or natals in transit?
We're fully talking about natal charts. We're just going to look at your natal chart. Now, that's your birth chart. And as I said at the beginning, that is what's reflecting the moment in time that you were born. And because like attracts like, it is a perfect reflection in symbol form of your energy vibration. And it's a very multifaceted. It's important to know that you're not just one thing. We often think, oh, I'm a Gemini, or they're Libra, or he's a Virgo, or this is your sun sign. And although it's certainly important in the chart, it's one of many. And here's probably the most important thing you can learn about astrology ever. We all have all 12 signs of the zodiac in our chart. And I think the more powerful, deliberate creators we become, the more we're able to shift through the various signs and tap into the power energies that they represent, so that in certain areas of life where maybe we want to be very objective and diplomatic, regardless of our sun sign, I might be an Aries, but I can tap into my Libra energy and just become that natural diplomat. Or there may be an area of life where we want to be super focused and concentrate, and I might tap in. I'm happy Gemini, a little bit scattered, and I'll tap into my Scorpio part of my chart. We
okay.
all
Scorpio
have
can be so intense.
Intense and focused.
Super
focused.
Okay, cool.
So can Capricorn, and anybody who has like those planetary rulers like Pluto and Saturn together. Oh my God! Don't get in front of that train. It's, yeah, very powerful, very intense, very focused. But there's times in life where we want to tap that. Maybe it's not on a holiday. So if I'm Scorpio, tapped in usually, and I want to go on a holiday, I want to go look at something more adventurous. Maybe I want to tap into my Aries and go hiking and just be in the moment. Or maybe I want to tap into my Taurus and just lounge around and get massages and just get my hair braided on the beach. So if you're getting the idea, we all have everything. And it's a matter of connecting to and learning to align ourselves with the power expression of whatever we want to bring about that vibration and move ourselves into it. It's almost like, well, this is probably a whole other topic, but the concept, I think everyone on the call has heard us talk, and Lisa in particular, talk about the different M universes and how, you know, the ideas of Bashir, where we are, and it's Abraham too, I think, Jeanette, where we're, as we focus, we're shifting to different universes where that
is reality.
And this is kind of the picture that I'm painting for you is, when you want to be totally trusting and one with life, shift into your Pisces universe. And when you want to take the bull by the horns and go off on an adventure and be the leader and director, go shift into your Aries part of your chart. Shift into these infinite possibilities, because we all have them. And it's very important that you don't think, oh, just because I'm a Libra, it means I'll always need to bounce my ideas off of someone else before I make a decision. It doesn't. You can shift into your Aries energy and decide what you want. Who cares what anyone else thinks? So that's, I hope that, does that make sense to everyone?
Yes. Oh, sorry.
Okay. When it comes to looking at your charts, I'll just finish up the, I'm very Gemini all over the place at the moment. When we, to finish up the housekeeping, what will the structure of these calls, we're going to save like the last 15 or 20 minutes for your personal questions where we'll look at your chart and discuss anything and get you on track with what we've been talking about. So unless you have a burning question about the content, you can pop that into the chat and then we can see it and pick up on it and address it. But as far as personal charts and looking at them, let's save that to the end.
Sounds good.
Okay. Yeah. Is there anything else there?
No, I think we're good to move right ahead.
All right. Now, let's get back to expectations. A real simple way to look at how we naturally have expectations in the world, particularly when it comes to other people, is to look at our rising signs. Now, if anyone doesn't know what their rising sign is, don't worry. We'll address that at the end of the call for you personally. And we've already got the link up there to how to find your rising sign. The rising sign is basically the sign on the most easterly point, which is the left side of the chart. That's because this is a sky map looking up, where this is not an earth map. That's why it's on the left. And it's the sign that's sitting there. We can help you also in the forum if you're not sure where that is. But that
some people
sign,
may also know rising sign as the ascendant.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, the ascendant. Ascending, rising. It's where, when you were born, it's the sign that was on the horizon. Okay, so you might have been born at noon, but there was still a sign rising up on the horizon. And you're linked to that in some very interesting ways, which we'll explore in more detail, but to start with, to just get a handle on how we naturally have expectations of others, which can be quite self-fulfilling because we expect them, look at your rising sign. We can just start with something like Aries. No one in the chat, none of us have Aries rising that are here, but we'll just look at...
Don't I have Aries rising. This is Julie.
Oh, you do? Oh, Julie, hi.
Hi.
Thank you. Good. So much for none of us. Okay, good. Let's start with that. With Aries rising, your power expression, and you're going to get notes on these, so don't worry about having to write this down, but your power expression is being the leader and taking command and going solo and making your own decisions, and it's very adventurous and initiating. Super action-oriented. This is not a rising sign that you can tell, really convince someone that slacker manifesting is your go until we tap you into your Taurus energy. But for your rising sign, your initial approach is not going to be to let someone else do it. It's you jump in and you do it. And
very naturally so, right? I mean, because knowing what I know...
Naturally.
Yeah, naturally. Right. I mean, she doesn't have to see the net in order to take the leap. She knows adventure.
She knows adventure, and she'd actually prefer no net. Take that safety net away, because if there's a safety net, there's no risk. And this is risk-loving. Okay, some of you who don't have Aries rising are probably just going, no.
Or rising Capricorns.
Yes, no, or Cancer. There's plenty of rising signs that this would not be true of. But this is your natural, and what happens is, because this is your ascendant, this is your rising sign, it rules the first house, and we're going to talk in a minute about what the houses are, so don't worry about that yet. But it represents you, what you identify. You say, this is me, this is who I am. The opposite of that, which is called the descendant, or the area on the horizon where everything is setting, the opposite sign
to Aries is Libra. So on the opposite, in the seventh house, you have Libra ruling. And what that means is that naturally what you expect from others is a Libra energy. And although Libra has amazing power expression, balance and objectivity and the ability to unite people and this beautiful artistry and making life exquisite and aesthetic and very powerful with communication, they've got power expression. But we tend to, I'm not sure what the psychology is, but we tend to see the other person not necessarily for their power expression, but more for their flaws, because it feels like it's opposite of what we're identified with. So that Libra over there to the Aries rising can look like, oh, other people, I have to make all the decisions. Other people just can't get their act together, decide on anything. Or, you know, they have to talk everything through first, and I have to, you know, drag them along to this and that and the other adventure because they're not certain, or they're not sure they packed everything they wanted, or you get this expectation of the other person to have these qualities that irk you, absolutely irk you. And one of the major ways to shift that into expectations of what you really want, which is the highest expression, is to tap into the power expression of Libra and realize that the other person, the other people out there, are there to bring balance. And wow, they can see things objectively, and they've got things to offer that I didn't think of. And wow, isn't it amazing how beautiful they've set the table, or look, they're taking me to an art exhibition. I would have never gone there, but this is actually fun and different. So the idea is that when you identify with what's you, and it may be your rising sign, we can go into more detail, it might be your sun sign, other aspects of your chart, it, often the opposite sign is not seen in the full power expression that it can be. Often it is seen as the flawed expression, or the it's like Abraham's scale of
emotional scale.
Yes, thank you. The emotional scale, that there a symbol can express on many different levels. So something balancing can also be sitting on the fence for so long that no decision's ever arrived at. So, you know, and everything in between. So the idea is learning how to tap into the power expressions. Jeanette, you can probably give us a great example of Capricorn, someone with Capricorn rising, and how they might experience the opposite of Cancer on the...
Well, it's interesting to me, Kim, because I'm wondering two things here. One, when it comes to our expectations and what we're creating in our lives, very often it involves other people. So our expectations of other people is something we want to be very clear about, because if I expect my boyfriend is, and I am focusing on the lesser expressions of Virgo instead of the power expressions of Virgo, I'm sabotaging my experience of him and my ability to manifest what I want if I see that in contradiction to my desire. But what else is interesting to me, too, because I'm thinking of my partnership with Lisa for the coach training, because she and I are exact opposites on the first and the seventh houses, right, Kim?
Yeah, which is you got a 1 in 360 chance of that happening, so we don't bump into it that often. So
that can be very attracting, right? Like in a relationship, I think that can be one of those things where people feel very strongly drawn to each other, and our experience of each other can be a little...
Can I ask a question about this? Just with the, you know, with the Aries and the Libra being apparently opposite, because Libra, I actually was married to a Libra man for a long time, and it was probably my most pleasant relationship, honestly. But the whole thing with the communication and beauty and balance and all that kind of stuff, that's something actually that, like, beauty is a very, very high value, personal value of mine. So I'm not quite sure how to read that as something that's opposite. I mean, I'm an artist, and it's one of the things I love about traveling is it's, you know, all about the beauty.
Kim, so I'll let you jump in.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a really good point because we, again, we are not just one thing. We are expressing, ideally, we are expressing everything in our chart. And I have to look at your chart to see where...
I'm just wondering where the... Because it doesn't feel very contrasty to me, what Libra is.
Yeah, well, you've got Moon in Libra. So there's no... This is not going to be contrasty for you because although you're Aries rising... Your moon, which is your instinct,
is virtually. I'm looking at my chart. It's like right opposite. My moon
is
in
Libra. Exactly. So it's important. Okay. What I'm giving us today, and it's very important to realize that this is just our baseline, and then we're going to add to it a lot of new and complex additions to how this might feel. But
yeah, okay.
At the
I'm
core,
sorry.
If
I just,
you are
I
not,
was
no,
trying
no, it's
to
a
understand.
Perfect. It's a perfect question because if you are not identified with your power expression of Libra, it can mean that you will project some of the the different vibrational alignment of Libra onto.
Kim's trying not to say the bad ones.
Yeah, I know. Really don't, because it's nothing's bad or good. It's
right.
Different, and but you wouldn't be expressing it. And it's quite. We won't try to nut it out now, but it's quite possible that there were things that your ex-husband did that were Libra expressions that weren't in perfect alignment with.
I mean, the part where you said, you know, I felt like I had to do it all myself kind of thing. It's like,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly. But that doesn't,
I was definitely the leader, motivating, this is where we're going to move, this is, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And your Aries would have loved that, and your Libra moon would have hated it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're not, remember, we're human psyches, and this is can be very complex how we approach the world. But that's why we're going to just peel it back and look at one layer at a time. So with these opposite signs, you recognize the power expression, and when you see one of those power expressions as something you're identified with, yeah, again, put a gold star next to it because that means you have integrated that part of your of the opposite of your ascendant. And that's awesome.
Okay.
That's absolutely awesome.
So good question, thank you, Julie.
For that input.
Yeah, thank you for that. Jeanette, tell us what happens with Capricorn and Cancer.
There's probably a better example to use.
Okay, happens with Virgo.
I think your point being that if we aren't focused on their power expression, like when I read what you've got in the notes about Virgo, which is Russ, discerning, analytical, organized, ritualized, creating, exacting, sensual, I don't think of it in that way. I don't experience it in that way because I have in the past, and I'm known for. When I don't consciously manage my expectations of him, it's really easy for me to default to the negative expressions, like incredibly critical and negative and nitpicky and like not really positive things you want to experience with someone that you live with.
Yeah.
And yet, all the things that are listed here of him are also perfectly true. So when I can change the way that I think of him, which is my expectation of who he is, then I have blogged about this so many times, whether I'm doing it on the positive side or the negative side. When I change what I'm anticipating from him, it's like a different guy walks through the door.
Yes. Yes. It's incredible, isn't it? It's absolutely amazing.
It's almost creepy.
Yeah. It's because you're in a new universe where a different guy did just walk through the door.
Yeah, well, there's one guy with the power expressions, and there's one guy with the lesser expressions.
But what's the opposite of power? Yeah, so we'll think about that.
It's unwanted, I'll tell you that much. I know that much. It's not very fun.
You make such a good point there when you mentioned our default, because the default can be highly conditioned and somewhat negative. And we shift to default as soon as we're stressed. It's anything can trigger it. If you're living with a Virgo, it can be triggered by spilling a cup of tea on the carpet, or worse.
Are you kidding me? I live with a triple Virgo. If there's one single little crumb on the counter, and that's his job. What he does for a living is to look at the stuff and find the flaws. It's what he does for a living, and he's done it for 24 years. Yeah,
I bet he loves it.
tea on the carpet. Oh my word! That would be. I don't even want to think about how bad that would be. Oh, my eye is twitching, literally.
Oh my god! Take some of this from him. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Watch and our expectations. This is something that we want to get conscious about practicing. This is the deliberate creator side. You guys know this. That if we just go on automatic default, we don't get anything different. But when we get very clear and conscious about what we're expecting. And the astrology helps us, whether it's with ourselves or with another, it helps us expect something much more positive and natural. I mean, it's something we're wired for.
Exactly. And we can default to less creative expressions ourselves.
True.
We could be, we won't say Aries rising because we don't want to pick on anyone. Let's say we're Sagittarius rising. And we're stressed, and we default into behaviors that might be very scattered and unable to focus. We might suddenly be just shooting from the hip and be so blunt we're alienating everyone around us. And we can take a beat and focus on, okay, what is my power expression of Sagittarius? And that's right, I'm a natural teacher, but I don't have to take my samurai sword and slice my student into little chunks to get my point across. That's not necessary. And we can just relax into, yes, I'm naturally expansive. I'm naturally into discovery. And I naturally start to feel better when I go walk in nature or I go look at the horizon line so I don't feel trapped. We can use these power expressions to get ourselves in touch with our own alignment and boost our own energy that way. So it's going to be a very powerful resource, just thinking about what's natural for you and if you're how you can tap in and express that to the highest level so that we start to expect the very best from ourselves, not in a way where we're going to be critical if we're not reaching it. And that can be a... what do you think, Jeanette? I mean, there's benefit in expecting, you know, I'm the best. I know how to nail this. This is where I excel. Those kinds of ideas and thoughts are very supportive. But is there an area where we might tip over the edge and think, oh, but that, you know, I was pretty crap at that, or we start to feel like we haven't reached our expectations?
Well, that's a good question. I guess whatever it is that my signs predispose me towards, I'm going to find a way to leverage that in favor of whatever it is that I'm creating. So I can weave those elements into the story of my goals, of my desires, in support of them. And that's part of that is, in fact, Kim, I think you've got some exceptional skills here, just because you're a fiction writer, and so you have got imagination skills and scripting skills at your fingertips that someone who hasn't practiced that as well might not experience as naturally.
That was so funny because you were saying, because you've got exceptional skills here, and I'm thinking, I do? what's he going to say next? I couldn't even imagine what you were going to say. What? Oh,
yeah, being able to turn a storyline in our favor. This is where so many people get hung up. in their own life, like not being able to see how something's going to work out. But when you get creative with yourself, when you give yourself more freedom to play, and when you bring the astrology in, boy, it's a cool party.
It's a very cool party. So the other element of astrology that we're going to introduce today, and some of you who are already up on your astrology and you know all this, just shoot me an email, because there are layers and layers, and I can very easily give you some homework for this week that you probably don't know about, and it's going to expand your understanding of what we're talking about. So don't feel like if you feel under-challenged in anything I'm saying, let me know, because I would love to challenge you in a good way. Now, the houses, as you look at your chart, you're going to notice that it's like a pizza, and it's cut into 12 pieces of pie. And in your notes, you're going to have a pictorial image of this. It's going to It makes sense if that doesn't make sense to you. Each of the houses are also numbered, and in most astrological programs, the number will be on the inner circle, so you can see which number that piece of pie is. And the houses represent a where. They represent an environment or an area of life. So what we've just talked about, the rising sign or ascendant and the first house, the where of that is self.
Oh, the where. You mean W-H-E-R-E.
Oh,
I
yes.
I was like, what do you mean where? Oh, okay, got it.
Where it's happening is the environment, is the place.
Okay, cool.
Where
Sorry.
The signs are the how. The signs are how this is all wanting to express, how the energy expresses. The
cool.
The houses are where it is going to express.
Okay, cool. Sorry.
Yeah, not to, yeah. I said that the first time. Not wear and tear, and not and not what you wear, but where I'm standing. It's where you're standing. And each one represents different people that you encounter and where you might encounter them. And, this stage or this background of life and environment. So the first house is basically me, myself, and I. I like to call it the shop window, because it is what you show other people. Just imagine you're all 12 signs, and you've got all these planets and energies all in different signs making different powered intentions all over the shop, and you don't show everybody everything you got, at least not at first, and maybe never. What you show them is your shop window, and usually if you're identified with the ascendant, that's what you're going to show them. You're going to show them your first house. And it's like the window in a department store, and it gets dressed in a certain way, and it has a theme, and it has a look about it. It walks a certain way. It wears certain clothes or jewelry or no jewelry. It talks in a certain way. It's your appearance and traits and your outlook. It's also how you initiate, how you take action. And so that's tied up with your ascendant sign and any signs that you have in the first house. And the opposite of that, as we said before, is the seventh house, and that's the not you. It's the house of the other. Now, different houses will link to different types of people. For example, the fifth house is children, and the third house is siblings. But in general, anything not you is seventh house, and it links to... Yes?
Oh, go ahead, finish.
Partners, spouses. It might be an agent. It's the undesignated other. And interestingly enough, and I included it in your handout, because it's fun to think about it this way, it rules open enemies. In old school astrology, your marriage partner was also the house of your open enemies, and as opposed to your hidden enemies. And I think this is so interesting, and it tells us a lot about partnership. But the fact that it's the open enemy, it is the part of ourselves that we maybe aren't in alignment with, and we project onto someone else and get mad at, or don't like the way it rolls, because feels so foreign and in contrast to who we are. That's your seventh house.
That could come in handy for a lot of our manifesting too, where it seems like there's someone involved who we're at odds with. But that's actually what I wanted to elaborate on a little bit, Kim, is just explain why we're really limiting our discussion to first and seventh house right now, because expectations is our topic this week, right?
Well, in particular, just because otherwise it's a 12-hour talk, for starters. I mean, we could spend a lot of time on each house, and you can look through this in your notes, but the idea is that expectations begin with what's not with what's us and what's not us. So we have expectations of ourselves that we want to tap into and think, am I under, you know, have I lowered my bar of what I think I can achieve? Because, oh boy, if my expectations of what I can initiate out there in the world and what I can put in my shop window are hemmed in and limited, how am I going to take that next step if my expectations of myself are low? And also, what am I going to meet? If I do, maybe my expectations are amped up high enough that I can take that step. If my expectations of others, and that's how I'm going to be received, what's going to happen when I put myself out there and start relating to other people? And because we're here on this planet, not in isolation. We're not living in caves and just, you know, food gets left at the mouth of the cave and we're meditating all the time. I think those people don't have a seventh house, but we do. And if we step out into the world and we start to manifest something, it's going to involve other people and what we expect of how we're going to be received or what we're going to meet out there. I'll just give you a very quick example of my own, because it's so funny, and it's the opposite of what we might expect if we are projecting Virgo or having expectations of a persnickety, finicky Virgo person in our lives. I have, I'm 29 degrees of Leo rising, which means the enormity of my first house is Virgo. Which means the enormity of my seventh house is Pisces. And in most areas of life, I have this very Aquarian, kind of the opposite of Leo, humanitarian expectation of the world, and it's wonderful. But where I get stressed, let's just say, you know, Kim goes on a date. I use this example a lot, but it must be my big stress. When I find that kind of the thought of it gets, I get into this kind of tension. Can you feel it? Stressed mode. And of course, I default. Stress equals default to whatever level you're at. And I'll tell you where I'm at. Pisces, I think, you know, I'm the one who's organized and knows what's going on and has all the facts and is very, yeah, I can be sensual, but I'm, you know, going to be very discerning. And I'm projecting a flavor of Pisces, which is basically they're unreliable, they're out with the fairies, they're probably addicts, they're probably just going to be, they might be creative, but, you know, they can barely tie their shoes. I will have this default projection out there into the world. And what kind
And we know
of,
what that manifests.
Yes, that's what the question is. What do you think I might manifest when it comes to meeting a man? That's rhetorical. Please don't answer.
Right. We don't need. No, we don't need to reinforce this for Kim.
No, because let me just finish by saying, Power Pisces, what I could be meeting out there in the world is someone who's enlightened, someone who is this most beautiful, generous, creative, empathic, compassionate person who's basically saving the planet single-handedly with their brilliance. Okay, so that's an example of how you can change your expectations, and we'll have to put this to the test now that I've brought it up in the public. but yes, I will make an effort to change that expectation, and stay tuned for the next manifestation.
I like the sounds of that already.
Yeah. Okay. So this is basically all about vibration and realizing that each of the signs represents a different kind of vibration that we are signaling, and depending on whether we're standing in that vibration and then where on the emotional scale we're vibrating it. And we all know that whatever it is, it's telling the universe what to line us up with.
Mm-hmm.
So over the next 5 weeks, we're going to learn more about each of the signs' vibrations and how what happens when different planets are in there, and how we can use tools like expectation to change our deliberate creation results. Is there anything you want to add to that right now, Jeanette? Again, on your handouts, you're going to get each sign and its power expression and each house and what area of life it represents.
I think some practical, I love the example that you just shared, and I think some more of those, if we get questions from those who are dialed in or in chat room, might help cement these concepts even more so it's not abstract, but we can see it applied. So for those of you who are dialed in, what questions do you guys have that we can start looking at a real-life example with? You guys got any questions?
Yeah, it's
well,
Janice here.
Okay.
Sorry, go on.
Go ahead, Janet,
no.
And then we'll take Julie's question.
Yeah, go ahead, Janet.
Okay, thanks. I guess I'm just having a bit of a disconnect between the theory and the practical, and it's possibly because I haven't got Kim's chat in front of me, so and I haven't got that visual clue that I can just look at it and go, oh, yes, I see what you mean. I see how it lays out. But so I'm struggling a bit to work out the relationship between I guess what I'm coming to is, because I think of manifesting as being a purely internal journey, and so I haven't really thought about how my expectation of others, because part of my, and I don't know whether this is a Libra thing or what, but I don't often find that there are expectations of others that that create any of the, like, I take responsibility for how I respond in a relationship, and I haven't been aware of putting expectations on others that create them being anything other than who they are. Does that make sense?
I'm just not really
understanding how this works.
Maybe Janet or Kim, maybe Janet's giving us a perfect opportunity to talk more about where Neptune is in our charts, because we didn't touch on that very, very much, right?
That's true. And the idea of Neptune being where we utterly allow and go with the flow and seek to become one with everything, and we're not making these kinds of distinctions. Janet has Sun conjunct Neptune. So it's quite natural for you on one level to not have that kind of drawn line or boundary around this is me and that is that's them. However, I'm pretty sure that there are at least unconscious expectations about what you will experience when connecting with others.
Even if it was like the expectation of clients or the expectation of...
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting, because I have become aware recently, just in the last week, of... and maybe this is to do with expectations. Maybe this is a practical way in which it's revealing itself to me, is... And because I've been sort of trying to figure out what vibe am I putting out there that has people not hearing me or not acknowledging my existence. Yesterday was a classic example. I was waiting in a longish queue to put in a lunch order for when I was at a workshop, and a staff member who'd dealt with the previous person moved away. Somebody else came in to sort of help get the line moving and looked straight past me to the next people and began to take their order, and I had to step up and say, excuse me, I think I was here first. Like, I was standing right in front of her. And she explained that she thought the other staff member had already taken my order, and I had to explain no. But it was a really strong moment of going, am I invisible? And maybe that's to do with that thing of, you know, no boundaries. I don't know.
That's interesting. Well, one of the qualities of Neptune is invisibility. It's the unseen real. And it can seem like you just disappear. And it's possible that as a default mechanism, and maybe growing up under stress, that one of your natural protections or defenses was to disappear and not be seen. Don't see
me. Wow.
Oh, yes?
That totally makes sense. I hadn't got that before, and that now makes the rest of it make sense, because I was sitting here listening to it going, I'm not getting this. I'm just completely not understanding it at all.
Yeah, okay. And just when we look at your Taurus rising, there are certain qualities about your Taurus which are gentle and refined and laid back and respectful of boundaries. And the opposite of that, of Scorpio, can seem like powerful, invasive, cutting through. The intensity can feel intrusive, and it can naturally draw you into one of your beautiful qualities of being able to disappear on the spot, the invisibility magic, which doesn't always serve you when you're waiting in line, but these things are operating. They're operating all the time. It probably served you at school when the teacher wanted was asking the class certain questions and you didn't want to stand up and answer. It would have served you then. Maybe.
Yeah.
But
in business, like visibility and the expectations we have from our prospects, from our audience, this would be it would be important. Visibility and success in business feel like, I could be wrong.
Well, you got to be seen. You got to be seen, and it can feel like a struggle against being seen for what you are offering, for what you are putting out there, and having the awareness of it can shift your expectations from I'm invisible, because starting a business or growing a business can put us into default, because it can be a stressful situation. It can bring up a lot of contrast, and we can shift back to these easy access defense mechanisms just out of habit, which are completely counterproductive for what we're trying to achieve, but unconscious doesn't know that. It just goes, oh, stress, go invisible. Which
I really like the distinction between I think invisibility is a superpower, but I want to be able to do it when I choose,
not as a position.
That's brilliant. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for asking that question. That was the best. I don't get this is a very good question, because we can elaborate for everyone.
Yeah. Well, and Kim, is there more we should say about incorporating our Neptune? Like, why is it that we're looking at Neptune for expectations again? Will you just say another sentence about that?
I think Neptune is where we really believe. It's where we utterly and fully have the capacity to believe. And this is with Pisces, too, where Pisces is in your chart. Pisces is ruled by Neptune, and we're kind of, we can link these planetary rulers. We'll talk more about that later, but they link to the signs. And this is the energy. Pisces or Neptune energy is the energy of faith, of trust in the unknown future, of belief. This, I expect this to happen. The Pisces in your chart is where if you just let go and release resistance, you're going to experience whatever it is you want. And we don't always access that easily. We can have a lot of resistance to accessing our Pisces area of life, especially when our culture and society says you have to have the facts or prove it to me, or where's the science in that? Or, you know, there can be a lot of reasons why we don't utterly let go. As an example, Einstein had a lot of Pisces in his chart. There was a strong emphasis there. And he said some very interesting things. Like, number one, all his great ideas came out of meditation and out of daydreaming.
Yeah.
And that's your Neptune and Pisces. And he also would make these incredible statements about you've got to live life as if everything's a miracle. This is our, you know, our default scientist of the 20th century. And here we are, he's talking about all these beautiful Neptunian things. And who made the amazing leaps, quantum, literally quantum leaps, in our understanding of how the universe works? And he did it by letting go, not by nutting out the hard science. Yeah, he had a blackboard and a piece of chalk, but the guy was a daydreamer. So this is, we're talking about Pisces
Thank
here.
Thank you.
Because, yeah, this is where, does that make sense to everyone? It's a part of us that can just let go and utterly believe. And that means we believe in those expectations, and we believe in those sweeping, amazing goals that are infinite possibilities.
Okay, thank you for that, Kim. We're about at the top of the hour, but I want to hear Julie's question.
Well, hopefully this won't be a long question or long answer, and if it is, then maybe I can just ask him in the forums or something. But I'm realizing that I'm a little bit confused between looking at the expectations from, you know, the ascendant and the descendant, and how that is a balancing thing, and then how that corresponds or relates to the first and the seventh house.
Oh, okay. Good question. Quick answer. The ascendant is the ruler or the cusp of the first house. It's your door into it. So with Aries rising,
got
to walk through the Aries door to get into your first house. And half your first house is resonating with the sign of Aries. The other half is Taurus. But you can't get to any of it until you walk through your Aries door.
Always been confused by that. Thank you very much with the whole Aries and Taurus thing. I'm like, where is my Taurus? The first house? The second house? it's actually the first house is kind of half and half, basically.
Yes, this is a really good point, that unless you have a natural chart where you have 0 degrees of Aries on the first house, 0 degrees of Taurus on the second, and right around the clock, you will have a portion of each sign, and sometimes even three. So talk to Janet about how many signs you can get in one house. She would love to share that with you. that's with the interceptions, and we've got links to understand that better. But the point is, each sign is always going to be 30 degrees. You can always have 30 degrees of Aries, 30 degrees of Taurus. But the houses are different sizes, and they don't, like, for example, your first house starts with 12 degrees of Aries. And that rolls through to your second house, which starts with 19 degrees of Taurus. So you're going to have this overlap. But each house will have a cusp or a door, the line of that piece of pie.
Okay.
And that is what you get into. So with the descendant, the opposite, that's 12 degrees of Libra. And you get into your seventh house through that door, that 12 degrees of Libra. And you've got a lot of Libra in your seventh house, and then you've got some Scorpio, too. So the...
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I will, you know, be able to re-listen to this and maybe get a little bit more out of it, because I was very confused with the ascendant and the descendant, and then the first and the seventh house.
Was that all of your question, Julie, or was that just the first half of it? Was there another part there that we can elaborate on?
Well... I mean, I'd love some elaboration, because I'm still, there seems to be this element of
what my expectation is and then how that gets manifest as potential contrast between both the ascendant and the descendant and the first and the seventh house. Is that accurate?
I think we use those examples, but it certainly doesn't mean that that's how it's going to be. So, Kim, I'll let you pick up.
Well, Julie, you may not have contrast. You may have absolutely the highest expectation of every person that you will ever meet all the time. And you may always experience people at their most powerful and brilliant expression of themselves. And if that's true, then you're fully actualized in your expression of your ascendant and descendant and first and second house, seventh house. And therefore, you can just revel in it and celebrate.
You know, Julie, here's an example. Julie had shared a while ago, you'd made a request of someone and you were anticipating, well, you got a different response than, do you remember this story about how you did some really powerful storytelling? Like, because it would be easy to slip into, oh, what was that? What does that mean? What's he thinking? What's he feeling in a negative way? But you turned it around really powerfully to, you know what? He was probably just pressed for time and he's probably going to get back to me. Do you remember that example?
Oh, yes. 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 Yeah.
Of an interaction with another person where your expectations had a lot to do with what unfolded, because it would have been easy to spin out
I guess I can see that in, you know, and as the weeks go on, this will all be much more clear to me. But I guess I can see also that my expectations, which are usually very, very positive. I mean, I actually have very high expectations of how people are going to treat me or how people are going to behave.
Here's what I want to ask you, Julie. What do you expect about people hiring you for coaching services or even the clients that you've worked with already? What do you expect about them paying you for services? Like, this might be another way to access it, to look at what's already flowing in real life relationships.
Yeah, yeah. My expectation, which is played out pretty much, well, I mean, played out always, is that people always love what my coaching. The expectation around money is actually pretty high as to what I will be making from doing this. It feels strangely comfortable. I say strangely because so far I haven't actually charged anyone. I've had some money come my way because of it, but I haven't actually charged anyone. So what that little disconnect is there is what I'm going to be.
Well, you just showed your skills for perceiving the reality in a way that serves you rather than telling the story, oh, yeah, everyone loves my damn coaching. No one's paying for it, though, because that's the story that a lot of coaches could tell. And
yeah,
you
no, my,
did.
My story about that is it doesn't have anything to do with them. I think people will love to pay me. It's more has to do with why
so
am
you,
I not.
So you think that in the future, Julie, or you think that right now?
I think that right now. I think I don't, I haven't. You know, there's some kind of a little.
Because if you really fully expected it right now, we'd experience it right now, and that's true for all of us. Whatever it is that we want, if we really truly, once we're in alignment with it, it's happening. So if it isn't happening yet, we're still on our way to alignment with it.
I'm still on my way to alignment with it.
Yeah, and that might be.
But like you said, it feels more like it's something that I need to line up.
Which your astrology can help
you
do.
When I think of clients, I don't think my expectation is I'm not going to have to, like, market, work hard, sell them, you know, that they're going to hear about me and they're going to want to talk to me and they're going to want to pay me. That's
so, Kim, Kim, in looking at Julie's chart, can you see any way for her to empower that expectation? Or maybe it's just for Julie to bring it to a present tense thing rather than hold it in the future?
Well, I was going to say it's not present tense. And that was my question.
And Julie may not want it right now. I mean,
yeah.
There isn't any, like, you know.
Well, it's challenging for me to talk about this because I feel this very, very close. It actually does feel very close. And it's just a matter of me putting prices on my site, of actually finding, you know, and we've talked about this, Jeanette, it's like, finding what that sweet spot is for me of what, you know, what I want to be paid.
The feeling that I get when I look at your chart, in particular with the Aries rising, is that when you're ready to go, it's just going to be go, and it'll be happening. And it doesn't mean that you necessarily have resistance to making it happen now, because I don't know the full background. The feeling that I get is that when it's on, it'll be on, but you just haven't hit the on switch yet.
Yeah. Well,
and
that's why I'm doing the vibration boot camp. And,
well, I was just going to say, Julie, that's part of our process, isn't it, for us to you know, from where we are to where we're going to travel that path. I think all of us are having that experience at some point that, you know, we're getting closer and closer to it and expecting it in stronger ways and believing that it's more possible. So I think all of us are in some form or fashion on that same journey that we just, you know, elaborated on here.
Yeah, it's a journey, and I'm not actually torturing myself about it. I'm doing it at my own pace, which, you know, my life is really, really delicious. So I and I spoke to my daughter-in-law last night, and she was like, you know, she's the one in Japan. She's like, we're planning on a trip to Hawaii in September, and I'm wondering if you can meet us over there and then come back to Japan with us from there. And I'm like, okay, it's time to push the on button here pretty quick. but it's that close. It's that close. I'm really trying to understand all of this and understand, you know, how I can empower.
Well, here's one way. This experience of building your business and drawing in clients to support you doing the coaching work that you love involves expectations of others. It'll involve expectations of vendors, whether it's a son-in-law who's helping with your website, expectations of prospects, as to how your services will be received and compensated. So that's a perfect time to be very conscientious about anticipating good things. And it sounds like you're really nicely lined up for it, and it's just a matter of time till you're closer to it.
Yeah.
And what I would add to that is really boost your thoughts and expectations around Libra power expression and Scorpio power expression, and get the feeling of just trusting this is all happening and this is all flowing. And
Libra and Scorpio, because that's my seventh house.
Yes, yeah. Just think about
it. And you've got something that tells what
your
the
notes
Libra,
are coming.
I mean, what's the different...
Your notes are all
okay.
Coming as soon as we log off of this call.
Kim,
I'm going to send them to you.
You know what I like for Julie? I like leveraging her Aries power of her expectation and belief of herself that once she decides we're a go and maybe an invitation to Hawaii is what that takes.
It's that, exactly, yeah.
That
yeah.
Aries energy, Julie, that would be such a
it's
fun
unstoppable.
One to ride.
It's unstoppable.
For you,
unstoppable.
It'll be fun to ride. For someone like me, not so much.
Yeah,
yeah,
I know.
But
I've already got my crash helmet on and trying to strap in and going, no. But, yeah, Julie's going to love
this. I want to see it. Where are we going? I don't know. We're going too fast.
Yeah,
that would
where's
be me.
The map? Where's the brake?
Slow down. We're going to miss a turn.
Yes.
That's me too.
This sounds great. I thank you so much for your explanation and for kind of picking my chart apart a little bit. I appreciate that so much. And
well,
and yeah, I am doing this. It is a go. So I'm looking forward to seeing how I can power
Aries
up the
energy
Libra
just
and
got
Scorpio
unleashed
expectations and work on that. So
very nice. Very, very, very
yeah.
nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
Kim, do we have homework?
We do have homework. And our basic homework is going to be, you might want to add something to this, but I would like everyone to look at their ascendant and their first house and the power expression there and ask themselves honestly where they can boost that in their own life. And one of the ways to do this is think about where you do really excel in that power expression or where you have in the past. Or use your imagination to think of yourself expressing that way in the future and give utterly equal time and respect to the seventh house and tune that into expectations in a powerful and creative way that you have of other people and other people, their reception of you, and start to see where these are totally in your control and you hold the reins for these. So I want everyone to spend some time looking at their chart, thinking about their first and seventh house, and how they can express those signs to their absolute dynamo powerhouse level. And we're
I am already seeing enormous improvement when I look at my seventh house and my VA vibe that could use some work. And I see this so clearly, Kim. I'm going to post in the forum so everyone can see an example of what she just shared. But I would love it if others would post too, because I'd love to see what you guys are up to as well as you start to leverage this energy.
Please post in the forum if you want to share what's happening, what you're seeing or what you're not seeing, and want some feedback on, because we can continue this discussion there.
Sounds awesome. This has just been wonderful.
Great. Mm-hmm. Thank you, everyone.
Yes, we're just getting started.
So
I can't wait till next week. Thanks, Janet and Julie, for letting us play with your charts. And everyone will look forward to seeing your posts in the forum as well. And in the meantime, we will plan on meeting back here same time next week for our second call.
Yes, awesome. Absolutely. Thank you,
okay.
Everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
See
you. Bye-bye.